Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to the radio show today. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and today I have got three guests that I'm just like over the moon to have them on the show because they're people that I have admired their work and have learned from them. I have learned to quilt from all of these people. And so that's the best part about this job. I get to invite them on the show and talk to them. My first guest is a contemporary quilter, and I took a workshop with Katie Pasquini Massopust many years ago in Williamsburg, Virginia. She is a quilter who is well known within the world of quilting for her fabulous works of art. Her quilts are just absolutely over the moon. She does a more contemporary work, and she travels and teaches this. She hosts workshops, and I just am so excited that she's here to talk about her work and her books, and we'll get to know her a little better. So, hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just excited, very excited to have you here. Yeah, can you tell?
I can tell. I'm excited to be here too.
Yeah, I don't know if you've taught in Williamsburg. Was no longer the show moved now, but it was maybe 10, 12, 14 years ago I took a workshop with you. Yeah, it was sort of back when you were starting to do your landscapes where you were sort of splitting them. I don't know what you call that now.
Oh, the fractured landscape.
Yes, that's the word. Yes.
Yeah.
Just before you did that, and you actually brought pieces that you hadn't taught from yet or shown yet, and we had a venue in our classroom that you could hang them. So it was fascinating.
Oh, I remember that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So tell everybody, how did you decide to work in fabric? What was it that made you love fabric so much to make it your career?
Well, I started out, I was a painter, mm-hmm. and when I was around 22, possibly, I moved from Northern California to the San Francisco Bay Area with my mother. She had a terminal disease, and I was working with specialized doctors down there, and so I signed up for some classes, and I signed up for a painting class, because that's what I did, but then I signed up for an embroidery class, which ended up being a quilting class, and I didn't find much satisfaction in the painting class, but the quilters were so kind and accepting of me, and I always sewed and loved fabric, so I just started making quilts with them and had such a great time, I decided I'd rather be a quilter than a painter.
Oh, isn't that, and you're also a photographer, is that correct?
Well, I do photography. I'm not, technically. I'm pretty good at it, though. I've worked hard a lot of years taking photographs that inspire a lot of my work.
That's what I thought I remembered from the workshop that I took with you, is that you talked a lot about using your camera and your photography and what we could do to help us. And and I really, that stuck with me because I really use my camera a lot for checking things and looking at things.
And yes, it's a good way to work on compositions, just taking pictures out in nature and stuff, trying to get strong compositions, and that helps strengthen what you do with your quilting.
Now, I would like to chat a little bit about, you've been quilting quite a while, so your style, even your public style, has changed. Things have happened, and your work looks different than it did when you first started. How does that happen to a person? What happens? Do you even know? Did one day you're doing one style, and the next day you're like, I'm so over that, I need something else?
Well, kind of. I work in a style, trying to get all the possibilities that I can think of, and making my art quilts with that, and then developing classes based on that, because then I get the knowledge to be able to teach it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get to a point where it's like, okay, I need something new. And there's usually one or two quilts that kind of bridge the gap between two separate design paths. And so they sort of morphed it from one into the other. And that's an exciting point, is when you're doing those that just sort of change. And then you get a whole new direction, and you really focus on that and go off that way.
Now, Is there one of the styles that you think, oh, I'd really like to go back and visit it? Has that hit you yet? Or you're sort of like, no, been there, done that?
No, I've got so many exciting things I'm waiting to have the time to do that I don't think I would go back.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about some of the stuff I've done in the past. I've sort of, you know, okay, I've tried that. Mm-hmm. I've played with that. I've sort of got that all out of my system.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you tell me, let's talk a little bit about your process when you actually start a quilt, no matter where you are in your, you know, your quilt life. But when you want to start a new quilt for you, what happens? What kind of things do you do to start working on a quilt?
Well, lately I've been doing paintings that get interpreted into my quilts. But before, the same idea would be photographs or drawings, something that gets me the idea, the inspiration. And I work through that and come up with a drawing. I pretty much have everything figured out before I actually start the quilt. I get all my mistakes worked out on paper. And so that when I get the design done and the pattern enlarged, mm-hmm. because I have templates for everything, then my fabric just sort of becomes like my paint, and I just sort of fill it all in with fabric.
Ah, so you paint with fabric.
Pretty much that's how it comes across in my mind, because I used to paint a lot. So getting the different values and stuff on your brush and putting it down on the canvas, it's the same sort of idea, except I'm taking fabric and putting it on my foundation.
So what does your fabric collection look like? Do you have, is it big?
It's very large. It fills one whole wall of my studio. It's in wire pull-out drawers. Mm-hmm. It's sorted by value. So I have 7 sets of shelves for 12 different colors from 1 to 7 values. So they're first sorted by color, and then I sort them by value. So that sort of makes my palette that's there on the wall.
And what, and you know, I'm looking at your gallery page on your website, which is kdpm.com, for those of you who can want to go look then. You have a little, like a rainbow of strips at the top of your gallery page, but those are very tonal in that particular picture. Are you hand dyeing? Do you use anything with a big print in it? What kind of fabrics, you know, make your work right now?
I use tone-on-tone fabrics that read as one color. I personally don't dye my fabric. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be making quilts, but I will buy dyed fabric. But I like to shop, and I'm always stocking up my stash. Mm-hmm. And, so it's, I don't use a lot of really big prints, because then that distracts from the design.
Right.
For the way that I work, in a more painterly fashion. So tone on tones and, you know, that kind of thing.
Ah. Well, you have a couple of books out with C&T.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, your books are wonderful. You have so much information in them. It's incredible.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like them.
Now, let's talk about your newest one. Be sure I have this one right, because I've got both of your books here. Inspiration and Design for the Creative Quilter. That's your newest one?
Yes, that's the one that's based on the still life.
Right. Okay, so tell me a little bit about that. What is the first, tell me, like, sort of what's the concept of this book?
Well, when I was taking art classes, a lot of times we would work from designing abstract designs based on a still life. And basically in this, it's the same sort of thing. You set up a all-white still life so you're not distracted by the color of the still life. Mm. And I have, I think, 10 different exercises, totally different ways of working based on that still life. The quilt might not end up looking at all like a still life, but those objects give you ideas of where to place your marks or your shapes or your different things. So it's just,
and you
sort
have
of
a lot
thing.
Of... Go ahead. You have a lot of students work in your book, too.
Yes, I really like to do that, because it just shows that anybody can do it if you work at it and go through the steps, rather than just have my work there. And I think it really encourages my students to complete their pieces, to be in the books, and they're always really excited to get their copy.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. You get great variety, and they get completed projects. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Win-win, yes.
Now, Katie, you know, not everybody feels like they could draw. So, like, if somebody picked up this particular book, and one of the first things you have is the still life, even though, like you said, you have all these other exercises which sort of go off of that. Mm-hmm. What would you tell somebody who wants to play around with this technique of a contemporary quilt, but doesn't, you know, maybe they've never done it before, don't have the confidence?
Well, if it's a matter of they think they can't draw, I like to jokingly say the worse you draw, the more abstract it becomes, which is it's not the, you do draw, but not in the sense of you're drawing a portrait or you're drawing a landscape or something recognizable. You're just making lines and marks, which is drawing, to create form and line and movement to create an abstract quilt. So, and one of the great things that we do is we do these drawings or paintings or whatever the exercise is, and then we go in and crop just a very small portion. So you don't have to feel like you have to paint the whole thing well,
right,
which is my fear when I'm trying to make a painting. I just know that I'm going to go in with a cropper and just take the best part of it out, which may be as small as 3 or 4 inches.
Oh, neat.
And then you blow that up, and then that becomes very powerful.
That's really cool. I hadn't ever thought of doing that to create. Ah, so a lot of the pieces in this particular book, they sort of start from a real object versus, you know, like traditional quilters have a block, you know, like a piecers have a block, which really isn't a vision of anything. It's not a representation, rather. So how... how can somebody who's like that traditional block piecer, but, you know, really loves your work and wants to play around, what kind of object should they, maybe they try first?
Well, if they wanted to go from that book, it's just to find some very simple forms. Mm-hmm. I like to have contrast when I set up a little still life, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, right.
Like a tall base and a short base, a soft edge, which could be the base. I mean, a soft edge, which could be like a flower, a white flower. Mm-hmm. The hard edge could be the vase. And just to get different kinds of forms that they could play off of. A lot of the exercises are just basically, one could be you're just going to make squares where all these objects are. So they're not going to look like a vase. It's going to be maybe a rectangle for that vase and using that to help you arrange the shapes on your paper.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. We're going to take a break, Katie.
Okay.
And when we come back, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your technique for your work, because we talked about it in our emails, you know, about turning things under and whatnot. So we're going to come right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
What other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Thank you.
take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking with Katie Pasquini-Masopuck, and she is a contemporary quilter extraordinaire. So, Katie, when you're doing your work, which is primarily applique, right, your quilts?
Yes.
What technique are you using? Because I think it's fascinating because it's not simple. You have a lot of steps.
Well, at first, I work out my design, and then I do a fine pen line drawing of it that gets taken in and enlarged at the blueprint shop so that it's the full size that the quilt's going to be, whatever size I've chosen. Mm-hmm. And then I spray glue that to poster board. So then that becomes my template. Mm-hmm. So I cut that up. Mm-hmm. And so I use that template, turn the fabric over, turn the template over, mark around it, eyeball cutting it a quarter of an inch bigger all the way around, and then I turn the edges. All the edges that are on the top have their edge turned, and I do that by spraying the fabric with spray starch, laying the template down, and then with a hot iron and a stiletto, I turn the edge that needs to be turned over the template and heat it with the iron. So that when I take the template off, that fold, that crisp fold stays.
So when I have a question on that, because I've forgotten now, did you say what the material was you're using for the templates?
I use poster board.
Oh, poster board. So
it's just a thin weight cardboard that I can cut with scissors.
So that doesn't get like too wet with the starch or anything?
No, you spray the fabric and then you put the template on it and turn the edge so you don't actually spray the cardboard.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. And then what method are you? Are you needle turning? Are you on the machine at this point?
I use the iron and the stiletto to press it over the template, and that'll keep the fold. And then when I put it down on I use Silky Totally Stable as my foundation. So I touch the iron to the pieces so they're held in place, and then I go to the machine, and with a free motion zigzag, I stitch down all the top edges.
Do you match the thread color to the fabric?
I use the transparent thread on the top,
clears.
The monofilament.
Okay.
So it's invisible.
Invisible. And then taking it the next step, you quilt it.
I tear the paper. Once you get it all stitched down, then I take the stabilizer out, and then I make the sandwich with the batting and the backing, and then I machine quilt it.
Oh, so when a person takes a workshop with you, what are they like? You know, what are your workshops like? Because I know you of course have a variety of them, but sort of, you know, if a person's not worked with you before and wanted to get started, what type of workshop would they take?
Well, I have a lot of one-day classes where you just get a little taste, but I think the most fun is if you can get a 4 or 5 day workshop, and in those, the first day or two is spent in designing and coming up with the composition and the color scheme and everything. And then we take our pattern in and get it enlarged and start constructing the quilt. And that's one of the more satisfying ones because you get to go from the very beginning all the way through so that I'm secure that when they get home that they have the knowledge to finish the piece.
So it can go in your book.
Well, sure.
So, you know, in a lot of the sort of more traditional quilt world arena, we don't usually take classes for more than a day. I mean, and a lot of times they're like half day classes when you go to a show. So, you know, even shows don't often even offer more than maybe a 2 day workshop, a regular sort of more, you know, mainstream quilt show. Where do people go to take these kind of classes that are 3 or 4 days long?
Well, there's some of the longer conferences like, and I'm doing one in Florida next month, which is just a guild that does a 4 day workshop, a weekend retreat. But you could do like Art Quilt Tahoe, and there's Quilting by the Lake. I run a conference in Colorado called Allegre Retreat, and there's a lot of these 5 day workshops that are the conference is more focused on the workshop rather than a quilt show and bending and all that.
Right, right. So if they go to your website, do you have, like, where you're teaching?
Website, I have an itinerary page where it lists for the following year where I'll be teaching.
Oh, okay. So that'd be a good place for people then. They could see where there might be conferences that are a little bit longer. And so you've been holding your own conference for quite a while.
Yes, I did. I started doing an art quilt conference called the Legray Retreat. In Santa Fe, oh gosh, we did it here for, I think, 14 years. And then I had to stop because the convention center, we had a small little Santa Fe convention center. They tore it down to rebuild a new modern one. So I thought, well, it's time for me to quit. And so I was just going to stop doing it. But one of my students was very upset with me.
Oh.
She loved coming to the conference and... She and her husband were building a resort. Her husband is John Hendricks, who started the Discovery Channel, and he was building an educational resort in Colorado. And so his wife, who's the quilter, she said, well, when I build my resort, will you run your retreat there? And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. When you build your resort, yep, you call me. And she did. 3 years later, she called, and she said, I'm ready to do workshops. So we've been doing it up there. This next year will be our fourth year, and it's really a lot of fun.
Oh, neat. That's an amazing story, isn't it?
Isn't it great?
You thought you were done, but nope, no, you're not. Now, you also do, you and your husband give out an award every year called the Young Emerging Artist Award. And I just think this is a totally, wonderful, wonderful thing. Tell everybody what that is.
Well, it started out at Quilt National 1 year when I was there, and I had juried the show and was there at the opening and met a few very young artists who had gotten into the show who were just so excited about being there. And I thought, you know, we need to encourage young people to do quilt making. Otherwise, it's going to be all of us old fogies sitting around stitching away. So I thought, well, maybe I could give an award because they have specialized awards at Quilt National. And so... We came up with the name Young Emerging Artist. So it's anyone that enters who gets in, and then they pick out the ones that are under 30, which is difficult to find people that get in that are under 30. And then we give it then my husband and I get to choose of those quilts which one we would give the Yay Award to. This year we started it, but there was no one that was under 20 or under 30. So we gave it to the youngest person that was there because you have to start somewhere. we're doing that award at Quilt National, and then we do it every other year at Visions Quilt Show. So we're trying to get those are the two top venues for entering art quilts. So we're trying to get the young people in there. And then we also give a scholarship, a Yay scholarship at Allegre Retreat for deserving young artist under 30 who wants to sign up. We actually have two of the Yay Awards, so the whole conference is paid for.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
That's pretty cool.
So what, for somebody who might be interested in this, because I have a lot of listeners who are, younger women, getting younger women and men getting into the quilting, what kind of work do they have to submit to get into these type of shows where this award is?
To get into Quilt National and Visions, you just, you can enter up to three works of your own. They have to be totally individual work. They can't be anything that's been done in a workshop or started in a workshop. They have to be totally original. And my recommendation is to just enter what you have and keep entering, because a lot of times it's the people who have entered for years who make really good, strong work to get in, yes, but there's always these people that get in who have never been in before just because their work is new and fresh. So I recommend just go for it.
That's, and they have to, probably another thing would be to either go to the show or somehow go out and see the type of work that is in that show, because it's a particular... You're not going to find a traditional quilt.
No, it is art quilt. It's not traditional. It can be a traditional type of work that has a unique, original flair to it.
Right.
But yeah, it's all original artwork.
Neat, neat, neat. I just think that's fabulous. I really thank you for like doing that and promoting the art. It's awesome. Very awesome.
Yes.
Now, you personally, since you get to go to a lot of things and see a lot of things, is there a particular type of quilt that you like, if you go into a show, you're like drawn to? Is there something that sort of sticks out in your mind? I'm just curious.
Oh, I go through shows, and I can go through a show pretty quick. It has to be something that's really unique and not been done mm-hmm. before to have me stop and take a good look at it. It has to have strong composition and technically be fine, but it's not like, all the little points have to match like a more traditional jury thing. So just anything that's unique, something that's really different. So I can't really say one particular thing because it keeps changing.
Right. You won't know till you see it, right?
Till I see it, yeah.
Now, you also is this an award? I don't know if I wrote my note correctly. Something with Japan. You won an award, a Japanese prize or a Quilts Japan prize?
Yes, at Quilt National last year, I entered a piece and I won the Quilt Japan prize, which is there's two top prizes at Quilt National, and that's Best of Show and then the Quilt Japan Prize. And the award that goes along with the Quilt Japan Prize is you get a all-paid trip to Japan. You have to teach for one day for them as the big award winner, but then you get 9 days of sightseeing and just enjoying the culture.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing prize.
I know.
Are you thrilled?
I'm so excited. And first I asked my husband if he wanted to go, and he wasn't interested. And so I asked my best girlfriend. So I'm going to travel with my best friend.
Oh, my gosh. Have you been to Japan before?
Yes, I've been to Japan before, but I've always taught the whole time I was there. You know, I got a little bit of sightseeing to do in between or after or before class. But this time it'll just be 9 days in a row of just being a tourist.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that amazing? And you'll get to absorb. Will you take some classes?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. We're still working on our game plan. My girlfriend and I like to walk and hike, so we're probably going to do some nice hikes and see some theater and that sort of thing.
That sounds awesome. Oh, gosh. Are you going to take lots of pictures, of course?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I'll probably get a new camera and be all just take tons of pictures.
Oh, that's wonderful. Katie, this has been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, it was fun.
Yeah, I hope I see you at an event pretty soon. I want everybody to go out and visit you at katiepm.com, and you can see all of her wonderful things, and maybe you'll get some new people in your classes.
That'd be super.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you.
We're going to take a little break here in a minute, and then we're going to come back with the authors of Quilts, Quilts, Quilts. Many of you have that book in your library. So this is Pat Sloan. We'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter. designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and my next set of guests are the authors of Quilts, Quilts, Quilts. And if you've been quilting, for any amount of time, this may have been your go-to book. This may have been the book that you actually learned to quilt from, which is, in my case, true. I was given this book when my first quilting class, and we did the book. That was it. That's how I learned to quilt. And I have not taken an official workshop with Diana McClung and Laura Nouns, but I feel like I know them. I followed their work, and of course, their book is on my shelf. It's a place of honor to have Quilts, 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 and I'm just over the moon to have them here. So, hi, gals. Hi, Laura. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Pat. We're excited to be here.
Well, really, truly, do you walk anywhere where people don't stop you? I mean, if you're in a quilt venue, do people just, can you even move? I mean, people must just be like all around you, like a fan club.
Oh, I don't know if that's still true or not. Do you think, Diana? There was a time, but.
Well, what year did that book come out? I forgot to look it up. It was what?
In 1986.
86. Okay. Wow. Okay. So say hi, Laura, so everybody knows your voice.
Hi, Pat. This is Laura.
Okay. And then Diana's the other voice. So go back
hi,
and
Pat,
forth.
Hi, Pat. This is Diana.
Oh,
we sound
good,
different?
Good. Now, you two have had an amazing partnership. I mean, longer than many marriages. I know. And so one of you owned the quilt shop. Which one of you owned the quilt shop?
Well, I don't anymore. I closed it in 1980. I had it for 8 years. So, yeah.
And Laura showed up in your shop. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes, she was the manager of my store, and she had a baby and took a leave, and I thought that we really needed to have a textbook if we're going to teach these quilt making classes. So I contacted Laura, and she came in the evening, and we worked on the book, and Michael Kyle of Quilt Digest Press in San Francisco, and he had a talented editor, Harold Nadel, and we wrote the first textbook in quilt making.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Laura, do you even, can you even guess that that would have happened?
No. I don't think either of us aspired to writing a book. It was intended to be used as a textbook in the classrooms because Diana had about, I think maybe 5 beginning teachers, and we each had our own set of handouts, and every week, oh my goodness, we were all just making photocopies after photocopies, and Diana finally said, you know what, we need to put this all together and have one textbook for these classes. And so that was our goal. We were planning to self-publish, and then, as timing often happens, there was Michael Kyle. So
off it went to press, and has been repressed a zillion times, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think everybody owns one, or they should. If you don't own it, you all have to go out. Now, I have to tell you, when you were doing the classes, Diana and Laura, were you using machines, handwork, back in the 80s? What were you teaching in the classroom? What technique?
Well, machine piecing, I was. Diana?
Yes, machine piecing, but we also gave a demonstration on hand piecing, too.
Ah,
because we had both, and but we always taught them hand quilting. It wasn't until much later that the machine quilting took hold.
Right.
Yeah, I started. I learned probably about 20 years ago now, and from the book. But my teacher would only teach, and only and around my area of Northern Virginia, you could only learn to quilt if you hand pieced. There was, it's like we, and I always tell people, well, we owned machines, but we weren't allowed to use them yet. But we did your whole book, whatever, you know, and I was just like over the moon, you know, I quilted everything that, you know, that would stand still and put a quilt block on it. It was exciting, exciting. Now, you both have gone on and you haven't just, you know, you didn't just stop at one book. You have done a lot of teaching and publications. What are the few of the other things that you have going on even right now?
Well, together we've done, what, 5 books plus a second edition of Quilts, Quilts, Quilts. Mm-hmm. And in, I believe it was 2004, we started our pattern line from Me to You Patterns, and we have about 65 designs in that line.
Wow.
I know.
So when you start a pattern, you know, like that process now, since you're still making patterns together, are they primarily one person's design, and then, or do you collaborate on them?
We collaborate. We meet every Monday, and we design together, and that's our creative meeting day. And we plan, we sew, we shop, and then we discuss future projects. But that is the secret of how it's sort of like a renewal. You know, every week we're there with all kinds of ideas ready to go to work.
Well, Diana actually retired from the pattern company last January. Mm-hmm. And so for a couple of months, we didn't have our Monday meetings, and we realized after a little while that we were both we were both missing each other. So now we meet. There's always something going on that we get together about. So it's been really fun.
Now, you know, right now I'm looking at your website, where the patterns are, and that's under the lauranouns.com website.
That's correct.
Yeah, I made your Going to Market quilt for me.
I love that pattern.
I know. It is so cute. The striped handles make it, you know.
It's all about the striped handles.
It is. It is. Now, let's talk about fabric, girls, because I will assume that you have a little bit of fabric at your house or your studio. Do you actually, where do you quilt? Okay, Laura, tell me first, do you have a studio outside your home, inside your home? What's it like? I don't.
I have what I call the back room, but it's a catch-all. It's not just mine. My family is, we've got multiple, the computers and the printers and all that stuff. But primarily we work at Diana. She's got the ultimate studio. So
Diana, tell us about that ultimate studio. Is she there?
I don't know. I hope we didn't lose her.
Oh, we'll see. We'll have Carrie get her back.
Several years ago, she calls it her structure, but it's truly just the most magnificent studio. It's an addition. It looks from the outside, it looks like a garage, but it's a two-story. So on the upper level, it serves as like a little guest house. So she's got a bedroom, and she also paints. So if Diana comes back,
are you back?
Let her jump in, okay? And then on the ground level is the studio, and she has the sewing machines and the design wall, and then a huge storage area. Storage isn't a good word for the fabrics. Shelves and shelves, and everything is neatly folded onto the shelves with according to fabric design, color, etc. And it's a darkened room so that it's not getting any direct sunlight, which is just wonderful. And she's got the bathroom, the shower, so if she does have guests come. Anyways, it's just our little retreat that we go to every week.
I think Diana might be back now.
I am. Oh, good.
We're describing your facility, your design facility.
Well, it has a special chair for Laura and her sewing machine, and everything is right there for Laura.
Now, what would you need to buy fabric anymore? I mean, do you shop? I mean, you said you shopped earlier. I mean, do you shop for fabric?
Is it a need, Pat?
Of course you need fabric, right?
It's
silly
a
girl,
want.
Huh?
we're passionate about fabric, so there's no way that I would not purchase fabric, okay?
It's good.
It's just part of me.
Is that true? What do you do with fabric you've sort of, fallen out of love with? Do you donate it or, stick it on the back of your quilts? Do you have a philosophy on that?
Every so often I'll go through and I'll put a bag together or a couple of bags together and I'll donate. Mm-hmm.
And I usually go through all my stash about once a year and straighten it up. And I have a big box and it goes out to someone that can use it or donate it.
You have to go through that every so often, I think.
Yes, and it's about a yearly process for me.
Because you have to have room for the new stuff that you're doing. So
absolutely.
Now, I have a question, being that I also design and have a lot of finished quilts. I mean, what do you do with your finished quilts? Do you keep every single one? Have you, that have been published? I'm talking more about like your published works, from the magazines or your pattern lines, your books. Do you still own all of them?
Well, we own a lot of them. In fact, I just recently went through and sort of counted up things, and we've made over 300 quilts together.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So that's a lot. But we have donated quilts. We've given the museum several times quilts that they can, use as opportunity quilts. And and we make a lot of quilts for special purposes. And we just finished one, so maybe Laura can tell you that story.
Yeah, we've got one that we just finished together with my niece, and it's a special quilt that will go to my sister-in-law. So we do work together, and it's just how special it is to have someone in mind when you're working on a quilt.
Sometimes we're
working on quilts just because, and it doesn't hold that same special quality. But we do have most of the quilts, and because we go traveling to the guilds and trunk shows, they're available for us, because honestly, I think the guild members love to see the quilts.
Oh,
and
they do.
So
you bring real quilts. Yeah.
Pack them all into the suitcases and off we go.
But we also have so many wonderful stories about each of the quilts that we've worked on, too. Some don't have as fun a story, but there are many that have wonderful, wonderful stories to tell. So that's why we keep them.
Well, maybe when we come back from the break, you might be thinking on the break of one story you could tell us about a quilt. Could we do that? Okay, good, because I didn't ask you that in advance. So
you didn't. Can we chat with each other while you're doing that?
We'll see if Carrie can make that happen. I'll see what she can do. So we're going to take a little break here. I'm talking to Quilts, Quilts, Quilts authors. Of course, they've done other many things, too, but that's the name that a lot of you know, Diana McClung and Laura Nouns. And we're going to take a break and be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, executive editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
We're back with Diana and Laura, and they're going to tell us a story about one of the quilts in their massive collection of 300-something quilts. So did you guys figure out a story?
We did.
Oh, good.
And I guess I'm going to tell this one. So it's kind of a long-winded, but I'm going to condense it as best I can. About 18 years ago, we decided Diana was celebrating a big birthday, and her daughter, Tricia, called me a few months prior and said, you know, Laura, any ideas on what we can get Mom for her birthday? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, honestly, what am I going to say? let's get her a pen and pencil set. No, right? I don't think so. Diana had always wanted to make a teacup quilt for all the books, but we never, for whatever reason, got one in there. So I suggested, let's do teacups, and I'll design this little block, and everybody can make one, and then we'll make it a friendship quilt. Well, Tricia thinks this is a great idea, and I said, well, you know, Trish, your mom just adores Liberty of London Fabrics. And Tricia said, oh, my goodness. My mom has this fabulous collection of Liberty of London, and I'll just go over there and get her fabric. And I said, we can't use your mom. She said, honestly, she's never gonna know. Well, this was the time when we kept all of our fabrics in mesh bins.
Right.
And so Diana had all of her Liberties in one big drawer. And so Trish went over, and she just removed that whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Diana never said boo about it, ever.
So
Trisha brings it over, and I cut all these little pieces. And Trish puts it back. And anyway, so the quilt's made, and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And I got the first border on, and I said, you know, I need to go find a really wonderful border, second border, big border. It needs something fabulous on the outside. And Tricia says, you know, Laura, when I was in there looking for that Liberty, I found the most wonderful. I said, oh, my gosh. Well, you know where this is going, right?
Yeah.
So there we are. We're using Diana's border print fabric on the outside of her own quilt.
Oh, my.
So we put it together. I figured, you know, it's her daughter. I'm not going to take responsibility. So Tricia proceeds to plan the most elegant, wonderful surprise tea party for Diana.
Mm-hmm.
So she shows up, and she's completely blown away, which, believe me, Diana is never blown away. You don't pull the wool over her eyes. She knows what's going on. But she didn't this day. And so we had the tea party, and halfway through, we presented her with this quilt. Well, she was just speechless. However, the first words out of her mouth were, so there's that border print fabric.
Oh, no. Diana, what in the world did you think was going on with all your fabric going in and out of your studio?
I actually...
was missing it, but then I didn't dig far enough either, else I would have really missed. I would have known that it wasn't there. I gave up looking.
Oh,
and,
how
yeah,
funny.
And so, but what was interesting about it is that I wanted it to do a small project. Mm-hmm. And had I cut 1 inch off of that, they would not have had enough for the border.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Fate.
Yeah.
It was the right size.
Oh, but, my gosh. That is so funny. A quilt made for you out of your own fabric.
Right.
So.
But oh, she loves it.
But it's such a cherished piece because, you know, it was all a fabric that I collected for my trips to England when I would go over there and teach. And so I would always pick up, you know, more Liberty of London. And pretty soon I had a great big stash of it.
And you just never missed any of it, right?
Every teacup is a different piece. I didn't miss one piece.
Oh, my gosh. How awesome is that? What
it
a fun,
truly.
Fun story. Now, I want to tell people out on our website, allpeoplequilt.com, if they put in either of your names, there's a profile. So that comes up. So we have a whole profile, shows pictures. I saw a picture of your studio with the drawers and everything, fabric. And then there's also a wall hanging by the two of you, that Asian-inspired wall hanging. It's sort of like an Asian teacup, speaking mm-hmm. of teacups. And so they can go out and print those and print that pattern if they want. So tell me, now we were talking about methods, you know, methods and quilting methods and things that you feel passionate about. And you were telling me that when you first started out, you did a double half square triangle method. Can you can one of you start and go back and forth, tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's I think most quilters would call it the flying geese unit. And mm-hmm. so we have just came up, this was years ago when we were working mm-hmm. on quilts, quilts, quilts. We came up with this technique for making that unit with just the squares and the rectangles so that there are no triangles involved in that. Mm-hmm. Because often, you know, when they're sewing on the sewing triangles, you're dealing with all the bias. So
right.
We decided to name it the double half square triangle because it had basically two half square triangles without the seam. So,
and we're talking about 1980,
mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you were brilliant in 1980. So.
Well,
you were.
We're just always trying to find an easier way to do everything.
Well, I think everybody is. You know, mm-hmm. when you go out and teach and talk to people, I mean, we want to make stuff and we want to have fun because it's our hobby. So now, are both of you still doing any teaching? I mean, Diana, you actually at one point ran a whole retreat facility, which
yes. Yes.
was
empty schools at Asilomar. Yes. I started it, 28 years ago.
Mm. And that's one of those places like Katie was talking about earlier where you could go and you still can take workshops for more than one day with
5 days, yes.
Yeah.
And because,
wow.
you know, I came from a teaching background, why I just really felt that these 1 or 2 days were not right for most people. So this gives mm-hmm. a total experience mm-hmm. in teaching, you know, in the quilt making learning, but it does other things too. It just sort of is a space where it's quiet and calm and mm-hmm. and you make good lasting friendships and mm-hmm. you can really experience a good experience in quilt making for 5 days. You need to come and visit it.
I have never been. You know, I've heard about it for years, but I have never been. What time of year does that particular event run?
Well, it's in the spring, and mm-hmm. This year it's in March. Mm. So I think the first session is in March. I have retired from that, so this year I will not be involved in it, but it will carry on because it has the other mm-hmm. two partners to carry it through. But the first session is in March 25th, so, and then
okay.
it goes until June. So there's 5 whole sessions that you can choose from.
Wow. That's a long event. That's a
Well, it was just, it's been a wonderful event. I mean, you know, I've just been something that I, you know, I started, it was my dream. I loved it. I loved doing it. And Laura teaches there, and she's always taught there.
So what is the biggest thing, now that we're talking about these sort of long, you know, workshops, what is the biggest benefit that you've seen, Diana, for students taking that many days with one instructor?
Well, I think they really learn what they came for from each one. Mm-hmm. And they have this inside of them. And then they also, another real good learning thing is that they can focus. They can concentrate because you don't have to, you set up your workspace for 5 days. And you can work on it for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
You also can get lots of feedback from a lot of different people right within the class.
Mm-hmm.
And each teacher is so unique and so well prepared that you just come home with a really a true rich experience.
Neat.
Very seldom do we have people, you know, griping about it.
So, Laura, from a teacher standpoint, what do you, or an instructor standpoint, what do you get from having students for 5 days working with you?
Well, I get to know them on for a longer period of time, and I think it gives them and myself a chance to have that relationship so they can digest whatever it is that I'm instructing and then apply it. So it's not like they're just taking it and they have to go home and figure it out, but I can help them with the figuring out process. Mm-hmm. And so it's really been a very positive experience for me as an instructor. Mm-hmm. And the last year, I've taught many things over the years, but I offered an independent study class, not knowing how or if it would go. And I'll tell you, it was just absolutely the best.
Oh, cool.
Because everyone was doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we would learn from each other, and I would have periods of time when I would have demos on request. So if someone needed help with whatever, I'd make a little announcement, you know, today I'm doing whatever, and whoever is interested could come and learn. So I loved it. It was just great.
Well, you know, I think that that's probably something everybody should try at least once, you know, to take a long-term class like that. So, Laura, you're still traveling to teach, right? So
people can
hire you?
I am. Hire me.
Yes, hire her. So have her come visit you. Bring all those quilts.
There you go.
Bring the Liberty of London quilt. That's the teacup quilt.
I do.
So your site is lauranouns.com, NOWNES.com. It's all one word. So you have all your info out there, don't you, about?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes,
very
and I think
good.
Laura probably has empty spool seminars also on her website.
It's on the right side. It's on the blog roll.
Fabulous. Well, Diana and Laura, this has been amazing. I've just loved having a chance to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Pat.
Enjoyed talking with you, Pat.
So now I have to meet you in face-to-face next time. I'll be the one running up to you squealing, okay?
There you go. Okay.
You'll recognize
me. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week where I have a fabulous set of guests and all new shows. So we'll see you then.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.